One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
When your company earns unlimited 2% cash back on all purchases with Capital One, that's serious business. So Steven at SandCloud got a serious business card, the Spark Cash Plus card from Capital One.
We used our 2% cash back to help build our retail presence.
Savvy, Steven.
And we get big purchasing power, so our business can spend more and earn more.
The Spark Cash Plus card from Capital One. What's in your wallet?
Terms and conditions apply. Find out more at CapitalOne.com/SparkCashPlus.
Hello, listeners. Welcome back to another episode of Daily Animated Tales. Remember, sharing this podcast with 10 friends or family members qualifies you for a shout-out. Today's shout-out goes to Sydney. To be featured next, simply share this podcast with 10 friends. Thank you.
Hi, everyone. The protagonist of the story I'm about to tell you is a cook. He was trapped underwater for 62 hours. That's almost 3 days. He became the person who spent the longest time underwater, and thus part of naval history. But he didn't care about that at all. He grew to hate the sea, and being a sailor after what he had to live through, he wouldn't even dip his feet in the sea from then on. Harrison O'Keen worked on a tugboat. For those who are not familiar with it, a tugboat is a kind of towing boat. These boats have really powerful engines, and they push and pull other boats or non-motorized vessels with the help of a thick tow line. The hero of our story was a cook on a tugboat just like that. One night, Harrison and his colleagues went into the cabin to get some rest after a long workday. And they locked themselves in, as they always did. Why did they lock the door? Because they were in an oil field in the Atlantic Ocean. It was off the coast of Nigeria. Ships frequently got attacked by pirates there. That's why the crew always locked themselves in their cabins, for safety. Harrison went to sleep at the same time as the other crew members. But he had to wake up a little earlier to prepare breakfast. He got up from his bed as he did every morning. It was so hot inside that he was only wearing shorts. There was a small toilet and a bathroom inside the cabin. Harrison went into the toilet and shut the door. In oceanography, there's a type of wave called a monster wave, or killer wave. As the name suggests, these are dangerously large waves. They appear on the surface of the sea unexpectedly, even with no trace of a storm. This is a natural event that scares sailors the most. It was one of those waves that caused the tugboat Harrison and his friends were on to suddenly sink. The depth of the water there was 30 meters, or 100 feet. The tugboat sunk very quickly. It capsized after hitting the ocean floor. It all happened in a flash. Unfortunately, the 11 crew members that were in the bedroom with Harrison drowned instantly. Only one person survived, and that was the cook, who was in the tiny toilet. The toilet Harrison was in had a metal door. The door had kept the water outside. This lucky man survived the accident because he was awake and in a place where the water couldn't rush in. But he didn't know what was going on. He wasn't hearing any sounds. The commotion outside had stopped. Had the boat sunk? What had happened to his friends? Should he leave the toilet or wait inside? He thought about it for a while. He finally decided to get out of there. It wasn't easy to open that metal door. He tried pushing it, but it wouldn't budge. The pressure from the water prevented it from opening. He pushed again as hard as he could. The door moved just a little. Harrison kept pushing. When the door opened just enough for him to pass through, he quickly got out. Harrison was shocked by what he saw inside the cabin. All his friends had drowned. He was really sad, but there was nothing he could do. He was almost out of breath. He had to get out of the boat as quickly as possible. Harrison tried to swim towards the cabin door. The key was in the lock, but the current inside was stopping him from moving forward. He struggled for some time. If he couldn't get out, this cabin would be his grave. But he couldn't move. The current pushed him towards the bathroom on the other side. and the first miracle took place there. The bathroom wasn't completely filled with water. There was a small air pocket left. Harrison lifted his head up from the water as soon as he got there. He took a very deep breath. If he had stayed underwater a few more minutes, he would have shared the same fate as his friends. Meanwhile, a rescue ship had arrived at the scene of the accident. Divers marked the point where the tugboat had sunk. They dove right in. When they reached the boat, they realized it had capsized. The equipment the divers had with them allowed them to go down to a certain depth. They reached 30 meters, but they couldn't stay down there for a long time. After a short probe, they decided there were no survivors of the accident. Moreover, there were sharks in this area. After a while, they came up to the surface, having lost hope. Since they couldn't get inside the boat, Harrison didn't hear the divers arriving. He stayed in that bathroom for about a day. He was a religious person, so he prayed a lot. He was thinking that God would definitely save him. But there was an issue he had to deal with on his own. He'd been in the water for a long time. Because he was in so deep, the water was naturally cold, so the possibility of hypothermia was high. For those who are not familiar with it, let me briefly explain what hypothermia means. The average temperature for adults is around 97 to 98 degrees Fahrenheit. If this temperature falls below 95 degrees Fahrenheit, hypothermia occurs, and it's a life-threatening condition. If the person's body temperature doesn't go back to normal levels, first they feel mentally confused, and then they lose consciousness. When the first symptoms started, Harrison knew that he couldn't stay there any longer. He had to get off that boat and, of course, out of the water, too. The 29-year-old cook dove into the water again. The captain's quarter was next door. The bathroom had a door that opened into that room. He swam there. He made it to the room. He wasn't going to be able to hold his breath any longer. He went up towards the surface. It was there that the second miracle took place. There was a small air pocket in the captain's room as well. This allowed him to hold on to dear life for a second time. After these consecutive miracles, here comes the third miracle that saved Harrison's life. This time, our hero saw that there was a mattress next to him. It was floating close to the floor. He pulled it up. He got on top of it. That's how he managed to get out of the water. This saved him from the risk of hypothermia. Harrison had been under the water for nearly 2 days. He was very hungry because he hadn't eaten anything. More importantly, he hadn't drunk any water. Humans can go without eating for about 3 weeks, but we can only go at most 3 to 4 days without drinking water. You know that 60% of our body is made up of water. Drinking water is vital for us. But don't worry. The young cook got lucky about that too. After Harrison got on top of the mattress, he saw that there was a life jacket on the water surface as well. He took it and put it on. There were tiny flashlights on the life jacket. He switched them on. When the room lit up, he noticed something that he wasn't able to see before. There was a can of Coke floating right beside him. He was so happy to see it. He grabbed the can, he opened it, and drank half. With that, he was able to quench his thirst. He didn't drink it all because he didn't know how much longer he was going to stay there. After that, every time he got thirsty, he took a few sips. It had been nearly 60 hours. The flashlights had died on him. He was listening to the sounds in the dark. But all he heard was either other bodies hitting things or the sounds of sharks feeding on them. Harrison was losing hope. He started praying again. He had no idea at the time, but the help he was seeking was only 100 feet away. The company that owned the tugboat had hired an expert team of divers to extract the bodies of the sailors. The men from the rescue ship had arrived at the scene and were ready. Soon, 6 divers dove in. They built a small elevator in the water. They were going to pull up the poor sailors in this elevator. The divers had a wireless video transmission system, so they could communicate with each other and the team above. Someone on the boat was following them from the screen. When the divers reached the boat, they got to work. After an hour-long struggle, they were able to enter the tugboat. They pulled the first 4 bodies they found up in the elevator. Meanwhile, Harrison started to hear something. These sounds were different from the others. He thought the rescue team might have arrived, but he wasn't sure. Just then he realized there was a shadow moving in the water. At first, he was scared that it was a shark, but it was a diver. He reached out and grabbed his arm. Scared, the diver pulled his arm back. He turned his camera in that direction to see who it was. When the person who was following the operation from the ship saw a person on the screen, he screamed, "He's alive! There's a survivor in there!" The diver quickly came up to the surface where he was. He saw a man inside that small air pocket. He was so happy to see him. The divers wanted to get the sole survivor out of the water as quickly as possible. But there was a major issue. Harrison could get the bends as he was being pulled up. What does that mean? When a person moves from a high-pressure environment to a low-pressure environment too quickly, a medical condition called decompression sickness or the bends occurs. This is a very dangerous condition. In order to prevent Harrison from getting the bends, they brought in special equipment from the rescue ship. They put a special helmet on him and pulled him up to the surface in the elevator. After 62 hours, Harrison saw sunlight for the first time. First, he shed tears of joy and then of sadness for the 11 friends he lost in the accident. The young cook's family lived in a small village in Nigeria. They took him to his village right away. His wife, who thought he had died, fainted when she saw her husband. This village was particularly known for its devoutness. After a while, the local priest visited Harrison. The priest said, "I'm going to ask you something. Please answer it honestly. 11 people passed away in this accident. You survived inside a boat submerged in the ocean for 3 days. The villagers are saying this is only possible with black magic. I trust you, but I still wanted to ask you if you indeed used magic." Harrison had heard about the rumors too. In fact, he hadn't been able to go to his friend's funeral. He was scared of the reaction of the other family since he was the only one to survive. He answered the priest's question calmly. "I'm a simple cook. I don't know anything about black magic. I just prayed the whole time I was underwater. I thought about my wife and my family. I wished for them to see me again. And God helped me." Harrison got a job working at a restaurant far away from the sea and went on to live a simple life as a cook.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
Craftsman days are here at Lowe's with big savings on the tools you need. Save $100 on the Craftsman V26 tool power tool combo kit, now at $199. No matter what the project is, Craftsman's high quality, high performance products empower you to build on. Visit Lowe's and check out the full line of Craftsman tools today. Valid through 7/9 while supplies last. Selection varies by location. Maximum initial battery voltage measured without a workload is 20 volts. Nominal voltage is 18.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org. One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org. One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org. One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org. One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org. One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org. One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org. One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
Hi, everyone. I'm Justin. I have to go to school every day with two bodyguards. It sounds pretty cool when I say that. But when you find out what happened to me, you'll see it's not exactly something that you'd want for yourself. My dad is a truck driver. For years, he drove around the whole country. We'd only see him 4 or 5 days a month at most. Even though we barely spent time together, we had this strong bond. On the days when he was home, we used to play board games. He would always let my sister or me win. I miss those days a lot. We were a really happy family. I was happy at home and at school as well. I think that's because I had the best group of friends in the city. Matt, Jamie, Chris, and I have been friends since kindergarten. We went to the same schools. We promised each other that we would stay together until high school's over. Last year, Matt's family moved to another city. Matt convinced them to let him stay here with us. He lives with his aunt right now. Things were going really well, and then something seemingly good happened, which changed our lives. My dad has been playing the lottery for years. Occasionally, he would win small prizes. But one day, he hit the jackpot and won the biggest prize in years. So one morning, we woke up as one of the richest families in the city. Many people dream of winning the lottery. My dad quit his job as a truck driver. We moved to a nicer neighborhood, bought a bigger house. From now on, we could buy anything we wanted. This is the good part. And then there's the flip side. A lot of news outlets talked about my dad winning the jackpot. Everyone knew the truck driver who got rich overnight. Relatives and friends who my parents hadn't seen in years started coming over. But why? To celebrate with us? Of course not. Some were straightforward, others less so, but they all wanted money. In the middle of all this ruckus, I was trying to go on with my ordinary but happy life. I didn't care about money, the new house, luxury cars, and all that stuff. My sister started going to a private school. Of course, I didn't change my school. My dad said, "Okay, but at least let my driver take you there." I said, "No, I wanted to take the bus like I used to." The bus stop was a 5-minute walk from the school. One day, I got off at the stop and was walking to school while watching a video on YouTube. I felt like I hit something. I looked up and it was a guy. Just as I was about to apologize, he grabbed me and dragged me to an SUV that was parked nearby. I was so shocked, I couldn't even scream. Just as he was trying to push me into the backseat of the SUV, we heard a siren. Whoever was in the driver's seat of the SUV was obviously a coward. He hit the gas and drove away without waiting for his friend. The other guy was stunned. After a moment of hesitation, he started running towards the SUV. Naturally, the police followed him. They caught the guy in no time. It turned out these guys were criminals. When they found out my dad had won the lottery, they decided to kidnap his son for ransom. They'd been following me for days. Finally, they decided to go for it. Thankfully, I was saved by a police car that was passing by. I was curious about how much money they would ask for me, but I could never find out. Naturally, my dad was very worried. And he was right. There could be other people out there who had the same idea. You can't be going to school alone anymore. I'm going to hire a security company. They will drive you around, he said. What? I would be going to school with bodyguards? Dad, that's embarrassing, I was about to say. Justin, I don't want to hear about it. We don't have a choice, he said, and didn't let me protest. That same night, two people came to our house to meet me. They looked exactly like what you would imagine bodyguards to look like. They didn't take their sunglasses off even inside the house. A guy named Alexander was in charge. Mr. Justin, you need to comply with some rules for us to be able to do our job, he said. What kind of rules? I asked. The first and most important rule is you can't go anywhere without us. The second rule is that you can only have one person with you at any time, at school or outside. I turned to my dad in shock. What do you mean? Dad, will my friends take turns to hang out with me? I asked. My dad didn't respond. Thank you, Alexander. We will do as you say. We're expecting you at 7 a.m. tomorrow, he said as they left. The following day was one of the most embarrassing days of my life. My dad called the school's administration and told them about the kidnapping, and they let the bodyguards into the school. The whole day, the two bodyguards were following me wherever I went. And of course, everyone was staring at us. The worst part was that they waited by the door while I was in the bathroom. I called my friends the night before and told them about the bodyguards. I told them that only one person would be allowed to come near me. Our first meeting the next morning was really upsetting. When I saw my friends, I forgot about the bodyguards and wanted to go to them. But Alexander stood between us and stopped me. After that, Chris came running to me alone. Jamie and Matt had to watch us from a distance. This wasn't something that we were used to, but there was nothing we could do about it. We had to play along for some time. Nearly a month went by. I thought I'd eventually get used to it, but that did not happen. I was still very uncomfortable walking around with bodyguards. The worst thing was that my relationship with my friends suffered a lot more than I could imagine. We used to hang out at school, and then afterwards we'd go to an abandoned paint factory. It had been empty for years. We called it the Gray Castle. We used to hang out there without anyone bothering us. But now we couldn't see each other at school nor at the Gray Castle. I was so sad to see Jamie, Chris, and Matt drifting away from me. They were my best friends. I had to do something quickly to fix my relationship with them. The only way I could hang out with my friends was to get rid of the bodyguards. Otherwise, they would never let me go. Alexander and the other guy brought me home around 4 every day, stood in front of our house until 6, and then left. I couldn't wait for their workday to be over because by then it would be too late. I decided I would run out through the backyard, go to the Gray Castle, and surprise my friends. When I came home, I went to my mom holding my head. I told her, Mom, I have a terrible headache. I'm going to take a nap. My room is downstairs. As soon as I got in, I changed my clothes and jumped out to the backyard. The bodyguards were by the front door, so they didn't hear a thing. I took the bus from the other side of the block and rode towards the Gray Castle. I think my acting was too good. My mom thought a headache that bad wouldn't go away with a nap. She came to my room with a glass of water and a painkiller. She saw that I wasn't there. She thought I went to the bathroom, but after a while, when my sister came out of the bathroom, they figured out I wasn't at home. My mom panicked and let the bodyguards know. They called me first, and then when I didn't pick up, they called my dad. The first thing they thought was that I got kidnapped. So they decided to call the police. The police got on it right away and quickly figured out my location by tracking the signal from my cell phone. I had actually seen Alexander's call. He must be calling to tell me something about tomorrow. I'll call him when I get back, I thought. Sometimes he'd call and say, "Heavy traffic expected for tomorrow morning. Let's leave 15 minutes early," or something like that. My plan was to spend a few hours with my friends and come back to my room through the window. But when they realized I was gone, things got crazy. My family and the bodyguards were rightfully worried. Meanwhile, I was happily chatting with my friends at the Grey Castle, totally unaware of what was going on. We had so much to catch up on since we hadn't seen each other properly for weeks. I was doing an impersonation of Alexander, mocking him for taking his job too seriously. Suddenly, we heard sirens outside. Then we heard the loudspeaker. "This is the police! You are surrounded! Put your hands up and come out now!" "Police?" We looked at each other in shock. What was happening? Was it a hidden camera prank? We put our hands up like they said and walked outside. There were cops everywhere. Soon the police found out what was going on. No one had kidnapped me. I'd run off to meet with my friends while everyone was looking for me. They picked us up from the empty factory building and took us to the police station. My dad, my two bodyguards, and the families of my friends were waiting for us there. I was so worried about having caused such a big scene. But my dad comforted me. "Justin, I get you, son. This money brought a lot of good things into our lives, but it also caused a lot of issues," he said. "Dad, I was really happy with my friends. I want to hang out with them," I said, and he put his hand on my shoulder and said, "I'll fix this. I got an idea as I was waiting for you," he said. Do you know what my dad's brilliant idea was? To buy the Grey Castle. Yes, he found the owner of the building, made the guy an offer, and turned that place into a playground for us. Then I understood that being rich is not so bad after all. After school, the bodyguards take us to the Grey Castle. We finish our homework in the library first, because that's Dad's condition. And then we do whatever we want to do. Some days we play PlayStation on a giant screen in the game room. Sometimes we have a tournament in the bowling alley. And sometimes we watch a movie in our private screening room. When we play basketball on the court outside, the bodyguards join us as well. By the way, I have to tell you that Alexander can really play. This is my story. I hope you liked it. Thank you for listening. If you like stories based on real-life events, you can subscribe to this channel now. Goodbye.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.
You've done it again, finance teams. You closed the books, and it went fine. Sure, some expenses were missing receipts, but that's fine. Stayed late to process invoices by hand. It's all fine. But don't you deserve better than fine? With Ramp, expenses are submitted with a text, invoices are coded automatically, and everything is connected to your accounting system, so you can close the books without all the busy work. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.